and nothing of what we have. The only thing we might say that we have is what we have learned, what we have understood, and the kindness and goodness of our hearts. These things we can take with us, perhaps, but we cannot take with us any of the problem things that are disturbing us and destroying us today. So suppose we now start in with some kind of a basic concept that we can apply. We can apply to mature people and to young people growing up. There should be some way in which every human being can become aware of his normal responsibilities in life. To graduate a person with nothing on his mind but his own career is a crime to start with. It can only produce greater misery than we had before. And to have a world of people, each one of whom is happy to exploit somebody else, is not worthy of humanity. We are not as wise as the ants and the bee. We are not using the faculties that we have been endowed with. We are not using the powers which nature gave us to help us to think. We all have minds, but we use these minds only as part of a system of exploitation. If we have a brilliant mind, we go into the profession and start cheating people on a little higher level. The so-called highly skilled, highly intellectual person may have absolutely no regard for the perpetuation of the integrities of life. So somebody's got to get in there and start teaching it. And it would be better to do it before the beginning of the next century if it can be started. It should be included in every university. It should be part of the curriculum of every high school, that each child should be taught that citizenship is a privilege that must be earned, is a dignity that must be maintained, and that it is a dream of future growth and future happiness for others that must be fulfilled by the consecrated labors of those alive today. There is simply no way in which we can get through this in any other manner successfully. We look also to see why various governments on various levels have been experimenting in the last 50 years. And we find that it is gradually coming back to this, that the government cannot create an honorable citizenry. You cannot politically elect the right person. If he's any good, he will be disposed of. If he's no good, everyone will be happy and re-elect him, simply because he will be catering to them. He will also be catering to something beyond himself. He will be catering to some great social structure which is itself a cause of trouble. He may be consecrated to the concept of wealth, which is one of the heaviest burdens the human race must bear. Or he may want to have no one have anything, which is also a very unpopular belief. But the actual fact is that this is a system. Humanity is a system within the great system of evolution. Humanity is part of a great world cause, a part of a great ladder of growth that leads from the lowest to a higher level than anything we can even comprehend. We are all here to grow. We are all here to improve. We are all here to make something better for all of us. So if we settle down very frankly, cut out the long words, cut out all the intricate formulas, and sit back quietly and think in terms of the fatherhood of a divine power and the brotherhood of humanity, we can get something done. This brotherhood of humanity, we hear about it constantly, but the brotherhood is usually limited to a small area which we regard as our relations or our national or racial relations. Brotherhood doesn't mean to take in the stranger. Brotherhood does not mean to be gentle to the faiths of those who differ from us. Actually, we have come to a point where we can no longer spend our time assailing the convictions of other people. We are going to have to learn to find things we can believe in common. And if we find them in common, they will work together. There is a little chapel outside of Jerusalem in which there are various statements of different religions as to the purpose of religion. There are similar ones in Asia. The answer to the whole thing is that all religions teach harmlessness, teach brotherhood, teach integrity, morality and ethics that teach the individual to find resources within himself, to deepen his insights, to enrich his understanding, and to make him a better citizen. Every religion has the same basic teaching. In every religion, practically, the golden rule is found almost word for word. And all these things, the people who have these same beliefs cannot get together. Something always has to divide them. Not the essential. They are not divided by the statement, "Thou shalt not kill." They are divided by all kinds of little personal petty grievances, by all kinds of sectarian divisions, which are of comparatively no value any more than the divisions within the economic system will ever produce comfort, peace, or wealth for civilization. We have got to get to the basics. We've got to get to the point where we can get together and they'll solve these problems, or they're going to keep coming to us day after day. Now, if you've passed out of the period where it's likely that you're going back to school for any reason, then you find maybe that you don't have to do it that way. Actually, the greatest instruction that any of us can have comes from within ourselves. If we will open the area between the outer and the inner life, if we will see a channel, not with some spirits, but channel with ourselves, channel with our own soul, get the message of our own inner life, we will realize that no human soul is completely evil. All souls are essentially divine. All souls are naturally the instructors of minds and of bodies. And if we can go inside of ourselves a little bit, we will nearly always find a kind of gentle wisdom, a simple truth, a realization that when we hate, we suffer, with a realization that friendship is better than enmity, that to be truthful is better than to prevaricate. All these things we know inside ourselves, either our own or childhoods or in earlier generations of our families. We have been church people. We have had training. We have a broad acceptance of religious values. And yet every day, a world with more than 4 billion people who believe in God, this world acts as though there never was a God and never will be. It is something that we have never put to work, never done anything with it. We keep on holding it, and on Sundays we agree with the preacher. But the rest of the week, we do exactly what we've always done. And this is the type of thing that nature will not permit. Nature will never give us a larger planet to live on till we live on this one well. We will never escape from the trials of the day to some kind of peace as a result of a platitude. In order to escape from the small, we must become greater. In order to escape from a small planet to a larger one, we must deserve this, not to run away from the exile we are in somewhere on the edge of space. Mark Twain always referred to the earth as the wart on the side of a pickle. It was something that somewhere almost overlooked. They had a hard time finding the planet in Mark Twain's story of Stormfield's Trip to Heaven. A parody, yes, but it was a very stinging one, and a very bitter one in some ways, but very thought-provoking. Actually, we are here to find the common way in which we can make this planet work. We spend time and time to try to find out how to improve an engine, but we've got to learn to find how to save a planet. We've got to do something to make certain that we do not exhaust the resources of the globe on which we live. It is like a bottle. It is filled with potential resources, which we are permitted to use in moderation. But when all countries become oil conscious, when all countries begin to mine for coal, gradually this particular overlapping of things results in danger. But the countries involved will probably say they need the coal. So this becomes a problem. The problem remains to find out who needs and who wants. And these can be two very different things. What we need, we must find ways to get. What we want, we must variously arbitrate to protect the good of all of us. So we have in merchandising now also new mergers. Gradually it will go on until perhaps all markets will be owned by one company, all banks by one company. These enormous mergers, these tremendous buys and sellings in terms of billions, all these are very formidable and very tremendous, but they are all really shadows. They are all little dreams that will probably end in trouble for all of them. This tremendous determination to leave the world when we are richer than we are now, that we will leave the world more wealthy because we have worked very hard and it has damaged many people in order to accumulate what we have. And yet, in the fact of the matter is, this type of life leaves us poorer than we ever were before. If we leave this world as nothing but the president of a merger, we are bankrupt, because that merger means nothing anywhere else but here. And when our coal and oil disappear here, and the planet is no longer livable, it'll mean nothing here. It is not the end of anything. We've got to learn that the road of progress is in and not out. We've got to learn that real growth is the fulfillment of our inner lives, lives that are not concerned with wealth, but concerned with understanding, with insights, with faith, with hope, and with love. We cannot do all the things we want to do on a little planet, but we can do everything that we should do on even a smaller planet. It isn't the size of the planet. It's the soul of the individual. And nature is trying to tell us this. It is permitting us to go one step in after another into bankruptcy. It is proving to us every day that we are doing it wrong. It will prove to us every day that what we are believing in is not right. And yet we continue to force, we continue to determine to break the rules and achieve a happiness that is reserved for those who keep the rules. So if we don't know where we're going to go when these resources are finally exhausted, by the time we have done what we should have done, we will know where we go. And we will also know that we are going to have a better life than we've ever known before. If we want to outgrow the planet so that we cannot perish with it, then we have got to outgrow the inner impulses to negation, enrich the consciousness of the realities of things, and even while we're here, actually live in the broad sunlight of a larger world. If we can outgrow this planet, we can go forth in joy, freedom, and fullness of spiritual maturity. If, however, we seem to be kicked out for our mistakes, that is a very sad mistake for us. It is something that shouldn't happen. It should never be anything for this planet except that we graduate. And we graduate when we keep the rules, learn to love the rules, and know that those rules are right. And until this happens, we're not going to graduate. And we can stay and fail the cause 50 times until perhaps finally the planet itself could no longer support us. But if we are really human, the planet Earth is a place of rest, a caravansary, a place where we pause for a little while in the great journey of life. And we can make it a very pleasant place. We can have gardens and friends and all beautiful flowers and pleasant homes. We can live well, live quietly, live kindly, and live to grow. We don't have to stifle ourselves with my mortification of the flesh or something of this nature. All we have to do is to appreciate the right and live according to it. If we know that we have a friend, we are richer than to know that we have a half a dozen landlords. We want to have a relationship that will enable us to get out of this world without pain, without sorrow, without regret. And in order to do that, we've got to start to live right here while we are here. If there is the kind of heaven that some people look toward, that heaven is a reward for right action. It is not something that is theologically conferred. It is something that is earned. We find that clearly named and described in the Scriptures. Therefore, we are constantly aware that there is a good that we should do, and a constant tendency to do that which is not good. So each person can find another world, a better world, a world of beauty, a world of art, a world of great literature and music, a world of honest work, cheerfully and honestly done, of taking care of little children so that they laugh and sing and learn to grow up to be decent people. All kinds of things to do, all kinds of work that must be done. And it's all good if the soul is within it and behind it. If we live from the inside, there's no danger for the 21st century. But if we continue to press an outside that never was any good, we will pass on to the future a terrible heritage of shortcoming and failure. We will discover that we are not achieving what we were intended to achieve. So we want now to think a little bit also about the immediate way in which we can do something about our economic system. One of the things that we can definitely do is to stop vanity spending. Now, stopping spending for vanity purposes may seem to be a hardship, but we can reduce all our needs to that which is reasonable, and we can escape from the continual pressure of advertising, which is forcing things upon us. We can admit, actually, that the various forms of entertainment in television and so forth are not good forms of entertainment. Therefore, we do not need to fall back on them because there's nothing else to watch. It is much better for each individual to select something that will help him or her to be what they would be if they could. Something that would help them to grow, to unfold their own natures and lives. Creative self-expression is much better than listening by the hour to canned music or canned dialogue. It is the individual moving from his own inner resources that must save the planet from the waste of natural resources. We must move the entire concept of perpetuation away from the planet and to the heart and soul and mind of the dedicated person. We are all safe as long as we do right. But we are not safe if we compromise or become over-influenced by the delinquencies of others. We are now on the verge of another great electional conflict. Many people are going to be very unhappy and are already because of the way all these things are happening. But the only thing that the person can do at this time is to vote according to the best that he can decide of these combatants. But the time must come when it won't be done this way. The time must come when the individual who is the most meritorious will be so recognized and established. It cannot be done by this particular means because the means are not according to nature. We cannot solve these problems politically, but we can solve in our own minds the meaning of them. We can say to ourselves, I now see what is wrong and I see how it could be made right. I see what it is that we have to do. And if we continue to think this way, we will discover that the thing that each of us has to do is to release the higher content of our own lives. Man is not simply an animal on its hind legs. Man is a creature that has the capacity to solve problems, whereas most of us use our mental energies to create problems. We do not use them to make the problems less. So it is necessary for us to think in terms of releasing ourselves from a little ball floating in space. There is no way out physically, but there is a way out internally. And as we go along, we will discover that we come closer to freedom with every step towards the source of ourselves. That we can never be happy by being selfish. But we can be happy when the soul achieves a victory over the mind and the body. And we are here like the mystery schools of antiquity. We are here to be tested. In the old days, when a person wanted to be a scholar or a scientist or a physician or a judge, he was tested. He was subjected to certain trials and temptations and tribulations to prove his integrity. He was not elected by a ballot. He was achieved by means of his own inner strength. If he survived the tests and trials and proved worthiness, he then received whatever reward he sought. And it is the same way today. This world that we are living in is a sort of purgatorial sphere, a place of purging, a place of purification, a place of dedication to something better. We are here because of our own imperfections and to be reminded of them. But we are not here to become blind to them. We cannot be made to see, but nature has a way of making it very uncomfortable for us if we don't see. So instead of nature pointing a finger and saying, "You shan't do that," nature creates a situation and rewards it with a war or an earthquake or an epidemic or something of that kind to tell us that we're not doing it right. And nearly every calamity of civilization is finally traceable to human misunderstandings. The impossibility, apparently, of man exercising his sense of humility and humanity. Actually, therefore, we are working constantly to pay off the debts of ignorance. In ignorance, we have built something that can't last. In ignorance, we are propping it up to the last bitter moment. And in ignorance, it's going to fall in spite of us. And after it's fallen and we get a quiet look, we will be glad it happened. We will realize that never will we be able to again be deluded into the types of mistakes we are making now. We have to outgrow our mistakes by going through them. So in every day, start in a little bit in your various fields of life by thinking in terms of conservation of resources, thinking in terms of sharing ideals and dreams, thinking in terms of cooperating with those who are attempting to do a good job, and most of all of realizing that this is a testing ground for souls. We can't always make a great victory. Some of the best people who have ever lived have gone quietly and silently to a grave, unrecognized and unrewarded. But this is not important. A reward from here is worthless. The individual who has done it right goes forth into a better world than the rest of us have ever known. And we can do the same thing in civilization. If we look forward to a paradise resulting from a good character, we can also look forward to an earthly Garden of Eden made beautiful because we have lived a good character. Everything that might reward the soul after death can also reward the mind and the body here if we do it. If we do not do it, then we will be plagued on both levels at the same time. So in the industry, we all need a job. Leisure is an enemy to all progress. The individual hopes he can work until he doesn't have to work. If he doesn't have to work because of proper advance of age, that is one thing. But because he can retire on his millions is the worst disaster that can happen to him. The moment he ceases to yearn after something better, seeks to improve the quality of his daily life, when he ceases to do this, his value to himself and everyone else is lost. So we do know desperately and definitely that we are now counting our blessings, and we're kind of drawing a will. We're making a document of what we are going to leave to our descendants. Our descendants, in this case, being those living in the 21st century. To them, we do bequeath this, that, and the other thing. At the moment, we bequeath a world in complete trouble. We bequeath wars, pestilence, crime, narcotics, alcoholism. We bequeath constant dissemination of false doctrine. We bequeath a materialism staggering under its own mistakes, and we bequeath an unfinished job which we have more or less miserably failed to keep. This is what we bequeath to the future, a disaster. Now, this doesn't have to be. We've got some years, about 10 or 12 years now, to begin to wake up. It's not bad to give the future a job. It must do the things we cannot do. But it can be given strength and integrity to do the right thing by receiving encouragement and inspiration from us now and from those who come after us, who will help to see that the world knows that we have tried, and that though we may not have succeeded, we are handing on something that is a positive contribution to the future. We would like those of the 21st century realize that we have dreamed of them, hoped for them, built for them, and hope to give them a better life and a better world than has come to us. We have these rights. We have these privileges. And we also know that we must watch very carefully the young children coming up today. Today, the children that are being born or have been born in the last few years are going to inherit the burdens that we have created. It is our duty, therefore, not to shunt them around or not to regard them as impossible interferences with our personal liberties, but to realize that they are an opportunity. They are the gift that we can give to the future by preparing them for a better way of life. We should constantly be thinking now of what we can give to those who come after us and not to what somebody else has done to us. We are not any longer capable of solving our problems just by saying we're solving them. We must give most of these problems to the future, but we can also give the future the peace and understanding to realize that we have known the facts. We are trying to do something about them. We are laying a foundation upon which to build something stronger and better, and we pass on to them an unfinished work, but a work which we have definitely dedicated our lives to fulfill. In this way, we can do something that is more important than leaving them a Rolls Royce or something of this nature. We give them no good when we bestow upon them the power to do nothing. Any child who finds that it's so endowed that it doesn't have to work, doesn't have to think, and doesn't have to grow, that is the underprivileged child. That is the one whose life is a tragedy. But if we make it possible for young people to get an idea about what lies ahead and realize the solution to the problems of today, and that the solution does not come from legislation, it comes from intuition, from conscience, from the inner faculty of the individual. We have within ourselves a soul that has languished for a long time. It is now our privilege and opportunity to bring it forth and make it the leader of our daily conduct and the leader of our lives in the years that lie ahead. If you will consider these things and do them, you will find that we have a very, very good future. Actually, therefore, industry, if we think of it, is work. Industry is the way most people make a living. This is perfectly proper, but industry must be cleansed. It must be redeemed. It must be fair. It must not be exploited. Industry must be cooperative to see that those who need have what they need in a reasonable way. Industry is not a war. It is a blessed way of sharing. Industry makes things available to us that we might never otherwise be able to have. But it also is responsible to do this with conscience, with integrity, with a spiritual realization that the dignity of selling and buying is just as great as any other form of dignity. If we buy fairly and sell fairly and keep the rules of life and use our money as a convenience, as I said the other day, and not a fact in itself, it is a convenience, not a commodity. If we realize this, all the things we do now would become part of growth. Everything that we now present would help us to grow. It would give us the strength to get rid of what we can't use and give us the strength to cherish what we can use. It can help us to be a better people and prevent us from wasting the resources on which the next generation must build its home here on this planet. So industry has got to conserve resources. It's got to prevent the pollution of waters, to prevent the destruction of earths. We are here now gradually changing into a vast refuge pile, a pile which contains not only the waste of civilization, but the waste of our dreams, of our hopes, and of our aspirations. Actually, our inner life is not so different from the outer life with its constant negative pressures. So we want to get all this out of the way. Nature will protect us when we do it right. Nature will take care of the waste if we will use the products correctly. If we will refrain from any product that is destructive, we will dispose of most of our negative and dangerous wastes. Everything we do right will redeem some part of the difficulties of the civilization under which we live. We do it right, our own soul grows. We come and go, and we are blessed in the coming, and we are blessed in the going. All things will be better for us, and because of the dreams and ideals we have strengthened in our own nature, each one of us can make some contribution to the betterment of the rest of the world. That's it.